This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes.
Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
We're into the month of May. It's countdown time till Bonnaroo 2024. It's time for us to start making our own personal picks, which we all know we're never going to stick to. We're going to try. Here we go with our personal picks. First up is Brian Stone. Here's who he plans to see right now. Hey everybody, welcome to the What Podcast. I'm Barry, that's Brian, that's Lord Taco. You'll notice Lord Taco is not in the bus, he's actually in Atlanta at Shaky Knees. It's May the 5th. We have lots to talk about. We've got a long show, we've got a special guest, Trevin Bernarding, who is in Charlotte at, what is it, Love and Life?
Love and Life
First Festival.
First year for the new festival, yeah.
Yeah, Trevin is, he's been on several times with us. He's almost a correspondent, I guess we could call him. But he reached out and said, I'm here at this festival if you want to talk about it. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit on this show as well. But we also have other news. Thanks to everybody who's been reaching out to our phone number, 423-667-7877. We've gotten several comments about pro tips on how to handle Bonnaroo and a couple of questions, I guess. But thanks to you guys for doing that. I've actually been inspired by a couple of the tips. Going to go do some shopping here pretty soon on how to handle my campsite.
It's never too early to start getting at least mentally prepared, and as it starts get in the mid to upper 80s here in the South, it's starting to feel like it, and that just little inner excitement picks up a little bit when you're like, I was outside just for a few minutes when it in and out of rain down here in the South right now, but sun came out and it was blazing, and I was out in the yard for a minute and I was like,
yep.
Well, I'm starting to remember what it feels like to be a Bonnaroo.
You start smelling that porta potty, that blue.
Yeah. I got to start working this into the regular here so I don't just, obviously by the time we get to mid-June, we'll be much more soaked in humidity by that point. But we'll see. You never know. We're back in the 70s in the third week of May, according to the high 70s. That could end up in the 80s, but you never know where we'll go into June.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I was thinking about it this morning. The three of us camp completely differently. I typically have brought a big family-sized tent and two big old air mattresses, and Russ brings VW Westfalia, and Brian sleeps in a tent about the size of a sleeping bag.
That's pretty close to true, like, yeah. Not exaggerated. It's a very small tent, but it's very nice and 100% waterproof. Well, very, very, very water resistant tent, and it can be moved and picked up and packed up in minutes. And it's worked beautifully. It's not the most comfortable thing I've ever done because I kind of live out of it as well.
Yeah. Just changing clothes has got to be a bitch.
It's awful. It's awful, but the minimalist unpacking and being able to be very free in that regard, and then kind of mooch off the other guys, like, well, I don't know, you two and two or three or four others over the years, it's worked out beautifully for me.
That's the reason I bring it up. It's just a different way. And then listening to Parker from Ruham, and I did it last year accidentally. I've always had an easy up, but the idea of just dropping bug netting or a tarp around it and just using that as my space, man, it's the same as what you're talking about, Brian, but bigger. It's easy up, it's easy down, and I've got a ton of space. I can change clothes.
I've seen something like that before,
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at this year. So, but point being, now's the time. We've said it before. Get your stuff. Get it out. Lay it out on the floor. Make sure there's no hole. Moths haven't eaten it. Rats haven't eaten it. The poles are there. They're not broken. You know, put it out and touch it, do all that stuff. And don't really, you know, if somebody else is bringing the tent poles, make sure they've got the tent poles, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
start digging through the sunscreen spot bottles, see how much is left in each one of those from that crate over there in the corner. And then,
And make sure they're not expired. Sunscreen actually does have an expiration date. So, you know, make sure it's kind of at least within date.
Same with batteries. Part of that's fun, too. Part of it is logistics. It's smart, but part of it is fun because it gets you excited about, you know, it's coming. And it is coming. We're, you know, what, 5 weeks? So there's that news. What was the other, Brian? We had some announcements, right? Some new lineup?
Quickly, I guess, if we want to do it here, the Bonnaroo news, just the Who stage lineup is out. And for the first time, many times on Thursdays, I hardly know anything. Maybe one have I even heard of. Never have I heard of anything on the Who stage prior. And this year, I know two of them, which I'm excited about. The one we've talked at length on here, we'll get to in a second, I guess. But the official Who stage is out. And what, real quick, do you want to start with some past here? Look at some people who've been on this Who stage before?
Yeah,
or do
we
want to look at that?
So let's do this. So we can go ahead and start. I don't have any other news. Do you, Russ, anything else? Because part of the show is Brian. This is Brian's picks. And so we can start with the Who if you want to. Sounds like we're going to.
Might as well.
Yeah. I don't have any other. I think those were the big things. So you sent a note yesterday saying you went back and looked at some of the bands that had played on the Who stage, and we always make this point. Everybody had to start somewhere, and so part of the fun of Bonnaroo for me has always been discovery. So being able to leave on a Monday and say, oh, I'd never heard of that band, and now they're one of my favorites type of thing.
Well,
so
and especially on Reddit, which I spend a lot more time around this time of year, you know, when it's in season, just look at what people are talking about, and you see all the old schedules that are on all the stages that we're very familiar with and go to, and you can do that and be mesmerized about just like 3 years before. I'm not talking about it. I need you to look at one from 15 years ago, and you can look at one from 3 years ago and be like, wait.
Yeah,
that was the festival we went to. It's remarkable how they do this, and maybe many others stack out that way across the country too. But I bet it's not as extensive as this as a Bonnaroo year to year list is. The Who stages, I mean, that is really on the small end of the on the verge or on the move type
right.
buzz cuts, as we might call them back in the day. But, yeah, so I rarely pay that close attention to it. They've moved, haven't they moved the Who stage more towards where the comedy area was? Am I right on that, guys?
They have, yeah.
Yeah, for people who have been there before, it used to be kind of tucked in where like Food Row was,
like in a, towards an artist corner of a village kind of thing, where like, and there's, and it's changed many times, not necessarily that one, but there's been two or three. There was a True Music Lounge for a little while, the Budweiser deal, then there was the Miller Lite Live Experience. This is not that, but it's not much bigger than what those were. I mean, this is for, hey, get some relief from the crowds and come watch a generally signed band, most times, a working, everyday, hardworking band. But have to start somewhere, as you say, even if you've been a band for years and years and years, that might be the place you have to start
at. And I think we learned from our friend Brad Steiner, former co-host, co-founder of the show, that some of those bands are paying their own freight to get there. So I
have heard him talk about that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's an opportunity for them to be, you know, to get this on their resume and to get in front of people. And we've seen a couple of great shows there. So
there's no reason to go through the Who state. We can throw up the graphic, and because I don't know, I can't tell you anything about a single band on here except for on Thursday, the Foxies, and this isn't the official start of the of my picks, but the Foxies is a friend of friends in Nashville, and might look to have them on before we get to festival weekend. We'll see. Fun, cool band that's been working for, I mean, 5+ years minimum. And then, of course, on Saturday, who I've learned through this show, like maybe others listening have as well, the Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights. That is the Who stage on Saturday. If we already knew that was for sure where they were going to be. I thought maybe they were going to be Plaza somewhere. I wasn't sure.
They're also doing a Plaza show.
Okay, so they're double dipping. Okay, that's where I got a little confused. Like, didn't we already talk about this? But no, because no one's talked about the Who stage. And so they're on Saturday. So I'm, first time ever, I'm looking at the Who stage. I'm like, all right.
Nice.
Well, I got to do one or two of these. We'll see.
Got to go see Corey. Go say hi to Corey. Nice.
But real quick, though, so I did think, all right, let's take a look back at this. It didn't take long to find a Reddit sub that would talk about it. And I started to get it rolling, and it started, my interest was getting piqued. And then I just kind of ran out of time, and then the sources got bad to figure out more information than this. But this is a pretty good start. So these are Who's stage performances since 2009, just kind of scattered. 2009, Portugal the Man on the freaking Who stage. And there, that band's been the same. It's not like it was like one guy and two guys. It's the same band you've seen on the main stage for 20,000 people was on that stage. So that was a huge one. Walk the Moon in 2011. Had a good little run.
We've had them on the show, yeah.
Had a good little run. These don't go in order here. 2016, Maureen Morris, the country singer who played our now defunct festival here not too long ago and was a lot of fun. Mount Joy has made a lot of noise in the kind of alt Americana rock world. My Love of My Life of the last 7 years or so, Jade Bird, UK from the UK in 2018. Wynonna Fighter in 2022, who I know, Russ, at least you've talked about more than, or maybe both of you guys have.
Yeah, they just played Shaky Knees here Friday.
And in 2022 also, there was 3 of them here. Daniel Donato, and I only know his name because he's played here in town to some fanfare. And I was like, okay, I know the name. I've had some friends tell me to go see him, so I put him on there because I recognized him. And then our friend of the show, Flip Turn, was on the Who stage last year. So, or 2 years ago, 2 years, 2 years ago. So that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool dynamic to something like this in any setting, the little kids' table, you know, as they would be like appalled to hear me call it.
Yep.
You never know what you're going to see. So,
yep. The one of my favorite days ever at Bonnaroo started at the Who stage with Davey. I've told this story so many times. Our good friend Mike Dewar and Chrissy Mincy and I, we went to see Davey, and it was about 10 people, and then there was 30, and then there was 50, and the band was just so happy, and it just started a great day, and we went right from there to the Warren Treaty, where bawled my eyes out listening to Tanya and Michael, their testimony about PTSD, and just fell in love with that band. Went right from there to Mavis Staples, cried again when she talked about Pops and the civil rights movement and being there. And then we went to, I'm losing his, Sheik, what's his name?
Sheik.
Can't believe I can't think of his name. I'll think of it. Nile Rodgers. Sorry. Nile Rodgers, who, you know, went from, hey, do you guys mind if I play a couple of number one hits that I've been involved with, and did like 45 minutes of Madonna and David Bowie and Sheik, and then told a story about how he had just found out he was cancer-free when he thought he was literally gonna die.
It's a pretty uplifting day.
We cried.
I mean,
we cried three times. I looked at Mike Dewar and he said, man, I'm spent. I'm going back to camp. Anyway, it all started at the Who stage with Davey. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's the biggest thing I try to tell people is everybody had to start somewhere. Go see these bands you've never heard of, because you never know. You know, you might see a Portugal the Man, and you might see them with 15 people, you know.
Yeah, 2009 was some time ago. Sometimes it's hard. You got to start doing the math real quick in your head when you think, oh, nine, back that, just a little ways ago, right?
Right.
And not so much, but because they headlined or top of the one of the evenings on the What stage. Was it just last year? I think it was just last year. Anyway, they're just a monster band now. So you're not going to find that a lot. But you are going to find bands that really get to that next level on stuff like this. And I think, and I don't know if the Foxies are one of them, but I want to believe it because she's really pretty. She's a hell of a front woman. Think Paramore, but less alt, emo, angry, and just a little different style, but still very fast-paced. So, anyway, I have some feelers out to talk to Lauren from the Fox.
Okay, and I'll also say I've always thought Bonnaroo does a great job of bringing people back. You know, you hear two different sides. Don't want to see repeats, but they've also been very good about having somebody that's on a Who stage, and then the next year they're on the Witch.
I have been such a hypocrite, back and forth, contradictory jerk on this. I get mad about the constant repeat lineups at many years, and then I find it so intriguing and a great story to hear about the trajectory of bands like Mumford and Sons and My Morning Jacket and Black Keys and so many others that are well known and so many that we'll never have heard of that move up the ranks, and it's almost like a graduation process, and it's really neat, but then I don't want them to book the same bands all the time. Well, what is it that you want, Brian?
Yeah. Well, I think the key is, you said it, it's up. It's graduating. They don't typically go down.
Or usually even play the same stage often. Right, that's what I mean. They certainly don't take any it's kind of a corporate American business kind of practice.
Right. You've earned it.
You're not going down or sideways. You're either going up or you're going nowhere.
100%.
And it's a little scary proposition, really.
100%.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. call quitgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, so are we ready to get into your picks?
Sure, women. Yeah, we can do that.
All right, I'm going to open the schedule up. And typically what we do, you can do it any way you want. You can do it, we've done this every year. You know, it can be, these are my don't misses, these are my walk-bys. We can go day by day. That's typically how we do it.
Yeah, we'll start day by day for sure.
All right, let's do that. So these are Brian's picks for Bonnaroo 2024. Who you got on Thursday?
All right. So what I did do to kind of bounce off what you just said, as far as I didn't think about it the way you did, or the way you just said it, as far as maybe a guarantee or a walk by. That's a good good way to label if you're making your own little legend on your mat, on your map over here, whatever it could be, walk by. So I guess my walk by list would be what I put in orange, and my more realistic is what I put in yellow for anybody who's watching. I won't focus on the walk-bys as much. But to start Thursday, if I'm there, by all measurements and all at this point, I will be there on Thursday, because I think this is a really nice, fun Thursday, especially with the pretty lights thing. I've mentioned it over and over on this show. Them on the what stage is a sight to behold. I don't care if it, what it is. You could say any one of these bands is going to be on this stage on a Thursday, first time ever.
Yep.
So I'm going no matter what, and I gotta think I'll give that an hour. If I'm having a really good day and I'm feeling good, relaxed, tolerant, patient, if I have all those things going, which on a Thursday I think I will, I'll probably give Pretty Lights an hour. And then I've got to see what Geese sounds like, just so I can do some kind of slapstick attempt at humor of a goose geese, maybe later sometime down the road content
right.
piece.
Right.
So I need to see it so I can, it's just, I'm thinking way out on something I'll probably never do. But anyway, they're at 10 o'clock on that. And then really the only other thing, that I that's not too late on Thursday, Neil Francis. The Francis comes alive, Neil Francis.
Yep.
I Francis after what we've done, after what we've discovered through this show this year and this season, I can't not go try to do that.
Right.
I wish it wasn't quite so late, but that's not too late to be prohibitive at all. And then in the walk-by stuff, this would be if I'm just stumbling around trying to not really feeling like going to bed yet and getting ready to call tonight. The Fisher and other stage, and then Guar, this tent. It feels like I could have some fun floating back and forth between those two shows and just people watching. I think that could be a really nice way to wrap that up. Seeing either of those sets much? Probably not, but watching their crazy fans, I think, sounds like a nice time.
So somebody brought up, I don't remember if it was the Ruham guys or Daniel and Charlo on the the Real Rue bus, but what about the idea of Gwar at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you got to find a shower? You know what I mean? I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because if anybody knows what a gore show is like, you're going to get covered in blood if you get anywhere close.
If you're, yeah, see, and I don't know how far is, I don't know where the safe zone is, because I just don't, I'm not as familiar with it as I should be, but I do know that, yeah, this
better
is
plan ahead.
This is something you need to keep in mind.
Either that's bring the baby wipes or something. Or
that's why I'm thinking a little circle around through Senru, or I'm just on the periphery out there. Yeah, kind of Noah Khan land of the tent stage where I can't, mm-hmm. you know, I can't get in too much trouble there.
I
so.
Just thought that was a funny idea. Yeah, it sounds like a great idea until about 2:15.
I don't know. Yeah,
Kate.
I don't know. Right. And I didn't see Gwar last time they were here, as you know, they are not. This is not the first time. Wow, addition to the festival. We've already done this in the middle of the night at Bonnaroo with Gwar, and I'm cool with doing it again because why the hell not? At 2 a.m, knock yourself out. Right. Y'all
Absolutely.
Do whatever. Y'all do whatever you want to do.
All right, good pick. So that brings up Friday, which let's point out again, guys, we say this every time, don't go hard on Thursday, but we're up till 2:30 in the morning now on Thursday. So
well,
what does your Friday look like, Brian? When does it start?
Well, that kind of leads out of what you're just talking about. It depends on weather and it depends on where I'm feeling at that time. But what I can use educated guesses is to believe is that roaming around in the late morning, early afternoon is going to be what I'm going to likely be wanting to do. Just roaming for a couple hours potentially, which puts me in the which and what, which we have pretty fast access right to those two stages.
Mm-hmm.
And which is beautiful. And 49 Winchester at 2 and Larkin Poe at 3. Larkin on what and Winchester on which. This is not normally my favorite kind of stuff, but if you like one, you like them both. Whether you know it or not, you do. You just haven't been introduced yet. That's a pretty nice little early, going to be very light crowds if the sun's not, if we're not a 95 degree day, if we're an 87 degree day, please, that's very possible. If it's a 95 degree day, I won't do either, but that'd be a nice way to start. This is a very rest day for me, Friday. Gary Clark Jr. on the Witch at 5:45 for an hour. Certainly have to take a look at that. And nothing, I don't see myself making it to the what for the whole afternoon. I maybe could do a walk by Dominique Fike at 6:45. I could see that possibly happening, but not overly likely. And I'll probably miss Post Malone. Sorry, everybody. I doubt I'll be around. Maggie Rogers at 9:45 on the Witch would be, I'm sorry. You know what I meant to do as I was doing this last night? I forgot to mark a big X through Maggie Rogers because I missed Joe Russo's Almost Dead at 9:15 on that on Friday. And that will be a start to finish show for me. That'll be get there early, listen to Dead. I mean, Dead for an hour and a half on the farm. I'm taking it anywhere I can get it. And I'm certainly going to take it from J-Rad. And that'll take up the majority of that night. And then I'll probably mosey back towards Post Malone, see how that's sounding from far back in the field, and then call it a night on Friday, I would say.
All right. So you can make up for Thursday. It sounds like a fairly relaxed Friday.
Yeah, and, well, the whole festival just spreads out pretty nicely, so they're all kind of relaxed. Early portions of we're on Saturday the 15th. Early portions of what and which, all of these acts, I've heard of three of the six. Brittany Howard, Teskey, John Batiste, the other three, not as much. I could see myself easily hovering around those stages and just seeing what some of this stuff sounds like. From Brittany Howard to ones I know well to the main, which I've never even heard of. I could easily find myself enjoying any portions of that for the entire afternoon. That and this don't do anything for me early on, so that'll be what I'll do early. But as the evening, the afternoon turns into evening, everything changes. And it's just 1, 2, 3 punch. Renee Rapp on The Witch, which I'm happy to see she has a stage, a big stage. Because I think she's, the little I've followed her, which is very little, but on YouTube to see the shows, her crowds and her, it's a good interaction. I think that's going to be fun. And then Cage the Elephant is on The What at 8:30. That is a start to finish show. Let's get there. So that's Lee, you know, Renee Rapp. I will do her for whatever length of time that it feels like I need to. Cage will be get there early, let the crowd leave, and then leave. You know, like I will spend 2 hours at that probably just to alleviate crowds and all that. And then immediately following that, back over on The Witch, Cigarettes After Sex. I don't have to see this entire show, but I think I need to see most of it. I think you can agree with that a little bit, Barry.
Yep.
At least in a perfect scenario, because I know we've both been impressed by what that band has done. And that's it. that's pretty much it. I mean, that ends at 10:45, so it's not like that's being too lame. I know you guys think I'm sometimes exaggerating on this. I hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No, I know you do.
I hate them.
Despite the one
no exaggeration.
Night.
Despite all the rumors of me singing into a bottle.
Yep.
And I say that, and I love like 5 to 7 songs from 30 years ago.
That's fair.
And I'm still frustrated they're on this lineup. I think if they're replaced with so many different acts, it would change my overall outlook. I didn't want to say I plan on going to see that, but I probably will.
Do you see yourself, and again, we've done this so many times, and I don't want to give too much away from my own picks, but I kind of see me doing a lot of visiting, hugging and howdy, as we say, with the campmates and people we've gotten to know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I could almost.
Well, left myself a lot of open time to do that. But sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask the Pretty Light Sunrise set. do you see it kind of? I mean, after Cigarettes, After Sex, you know, you're back at camp, and then it's suddenly 2:30, 3 o'clock, and it's like, we're up. Let's go watch this set. Or I know we're going to hear it, right?
Are you asking about us? Or are you asking about what other people across
the... I'm asking about you. You, me. Do you see us in our little Camp Nut Butter heading over to the Pretty Light Sunrise set?
If I'm going to have a Sunday, which I want to have, it can involve Pretty Lights at 2:15 in the morning.
Okay. All right.
It can't. And if... The Thursday... set, the 3-hour Thursday set, that'll be all the Pretty Lights
enough.
I need.
Okay, all right.
But I could be up feeling good. I don't go to sleep early. Just because I'm saying I'm not going to shows late doesn't mean I'm asleep.
Yeah. No, I get it 100%.
I'm up late. I'm up till 3 or 4 in the morning. I'm just not in a field watching Pretty Lights till 3 or 4 in the morning. But it doesn't mean I wouldn't do it. It doesn't mean I wouldn't. Yeah. It just means it's probably not likely.
I think your schedule and mine are probably coming together pretty similarly. I'm going to have a lot of flexibility in mine, show-wise
I've got some flexibility, but the news that's great for me this year and why I've been really excited about the lineup, even when I initially wasn't, just from the, you know, like, here it is, now react. Well, right. That's not a great way to even do it at all. We shouldn't do it, even though we do it every single time.
Yeah, we're going to next year, too.
We will. But after it settles and I look at it, I can get it to see it. I can see any band I want.
Yeah.
Like there is no overlap. Not anything that truly means anything. So that wraps up Saturday, and then we can knock this thing out with a Sunday, which is... I am very well known for leaving on Sundays for a long time now, and they seem to get more and more and earlier and earlier, and sometimes not at all. And I don't want that to be the case this year. And, well, it won't be because my, you know, other love of my life, the beaches, my new love of the life, Jade Bird would be upset. Cats are knocking. I don't know if y'all can hear that. Beach is at 2:30. That's a get there early, stay till it's over, and then let the crowd disperse before I completely walk. That's going to be great. Here's the problem. 2:30 to 3:15. A 45-minute set early on the This Tent. A 45-minute set?
Yeah.
For a band that's on the rise, that's opening for the Rolling Stones this year? I know that's that's an industry. They don't deserve to open for the Rolling Stones, but they still are. Yeah, they still are opening for the Rolling Stones. And 45 minutes? Now, they have a lot of music, but it is fast-paced and short. So there's going to be a lot of songs in 45 minutes, and they're not a yak it up there, you know, it's all about we're playing bangers here. But still, 45 minutes, that's disappointing. But I'll take what I can get. Right after that, help me out, Russ. I always mess it up. Chapel Roan. Chapel
Roan. You nailed it. Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan. She gets an hour right afterwards. What is her saying that went around the internet everywhere? I'm the girls that all the girls wish I was, or so. Or I'm the. It was. It was such a provocatively awesome statement. Anyway, I got to see this person on stage.
Right.
This sounds me like too. It's going to be I mean, this sounds like flamboyant. This sounds like it's highly pop, super pop music, but it's catchy and it. I got to see that. That's an hour at 4:00. So I'm thinking This Tent. I'm just chilling in the early afternoon on a Sunday. I think that'll be comfortable.
Go get a spicy pie in between.
Get a spicy pie. In your head, you're getting ready to leave, but you got still plenty of time. This sounds beautiful if weather cooperates. And right about as all that overlap, we get to Milky Chance back-to-back with Carly Rae Jepsen on the What. I saw Milky Chance on the What in 17, and as all What stages, it sounded amazing. I feel like I should do that again if I can fit that in there. And then Carly J. Repson would just, can I get the Call Me Maybe in here somewhere? I hate to be that dork. I'm sorry to be that guy, but that seems too good to pass up. that seems like a social media moment for the ages.
Right.
Yeah.
On the main stage at Bonnaroo.
Right.
Call Me Maybe. I got to do it. And that's pretty much it until if I can make it. I wish Isabel was playing earlier on the What. I wish he was at the Carly time slot of 5-ish instead of 8:15 on the Witch. Jason Isabel in the 400 unit. That's my closer. That's my done. That's my mic drop. That's the dome final note. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. See you later.
Yeah. See, that's an issue for us because we live so close. It's so easy to think, I can get in the car and be home in 55 minutes.
And you know what makes that even easier? When you tell yourself that at 4:00.
Hey, that's my point. Or you can stay and watch Jason Isbell. And then if you're then going to stay, see Fred again because you're there. So, yeah.
That's never happening for me. But, I mean, I didn't stay for Stevie. And I love Stevie Nicks. And I'm out of here. But now this is total First World Festival problems for sure, and nobody wants to hear it. But also, the one little thing, though, on the travel back is we lose an hour going home. So it's only an hour drive, but we lose 2 hours. So when Isabel wraps up at 9:30, well, that's 10:30, and I'm still standing here in the middle. Staring at the Witch stage, which means I won't be off this festival ground for another hour. Yeah. Maybe half hour if you're planning all day and you're ready and you're locked and ready to go, which means I'm not home till about midnight and I go back to work the next Monday. That's how my work week works on that. I take the week prior.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is. I take the week prior. I've done them both. I've done after. I need the week. Get it. The off days leading up are far more superior to the days after. And so,
I used to leave Sunday morning so I could come home, and my wife and I, we would spend Sunday in the pool. I mean, I would come home, put everything in the laundry, you know, the dirty
clothes.
What
a way to end the weekend.
It was awesome.
What a perfect way to end the weekend.
I would have a cooler full of whatever leftover beer. I would get home about 11. We would go outside and just get in the water and just float. It was great, yeah. But I missed so much music. And then now we've started going, stay until Monday. And I
think that's the way to go. If you can swing the time off, stay until Monday. It just gives you that extra little cushion of, I don't have to pack up and leave right away. I can, get one more night of sleep and then wake up and then pack up, and you're not pressured to be back home anytime.
It is nice. And Brian, you both of you, we started going for Wednesday for the pressers. They started doing the walkthroughs on Wednesday.
Loved it.
And then, so Wednesday to Monday, and I think the second year we did that, I got back on Monday, did all my unpacking and everything, and I have no memory of anything until that Friday.
I have done
exhausted
something similar to that schedule 4 times, maybe 4, and a couple of them because we had some great weather were very memorable. But mostly it's so much.
It's exhausting.
It's so much. And some of those were when we had better accommodations. We still have good ones.
Oh, yeah.
They were a little bit better.
Absolutely.
We'll see. This is beaches is not negotiable unless I wake up, need medical attention. The beaches is not negotiable. That's happening. But there's a world where I wake up and say the beaches, and at 3:15, I'm gonna go find a pool. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I've
told the story.
I could be there by the evening.
The Tom Petty year, great. My daughter, who's working for the festival at that time, called and said, "I got you pit passes for Petty Sunday night." And I said, "Cool, I'm in." And then I sat in a chair, and I called her and I said, "I'm going home. There's no way I'm standing for 90 minutes at 11:30 at night. I'm done."
Yeah. And especially unless you're a big Petty guy, which I don't.
I was, but you are. Huge regret. But I'd do it again.
Honestly, we'll talk about Shaky D's later, but I did go to that late night pond set here in Atlanta at Terminal West, and that didn't start till midnight. And I honestly thought about, I could just walk back to the hotel.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I went, stayed for the whole thing, and I'm glad I did. It was fun.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, those are great picks, Brian. Thanks. We're going to do Russ's next week, and then I'm going to do mine the following week if everything goes as scheduled. But right now we've got joining us is a friend of the show, a sometimes correspondent, we joke, Trevin Bernarding. He is in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Love and Life Festival, and Russ, you'll see, is down in Atlanta at Shaky Knees, and we thought it'd be a good idea to kind of get what it's like at these other festivals, two city festivals as opposed to a camping festival.
So. Yeah, it's a dueling hotel festival. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, my original idea was, because we thought it was going to rain, my original idea was kind of do like a CNN, how they always have their reporter standing in the beach.
As you can see.
Yeah.
Behind me.
But the weather didn't work.
Danger everywhere.
Yeah. The weather played out great. Yeah. And, it's a little weird to be in a hotel room instead of the bus, but we'll talk about that.
Well, I think it's a great interview because both of you, you get to share not only the bands you want to see, but how these city festivals are a little different than Bonnaroo. And I appreciate Trevin. He's there with his wife, who it's her birthday, happy birthday, and his 17-year-old daughter. So we talk about that a little bit. You know, everybody does a festival different. Every festival is a little different, and we just kind of thought this was a great opportunity to get a, you know, boots on the ground kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, man on the street, as they call it. So,
exactly.
Or man in the hotel room down the street.
Man in the
couple
room.
Couple blocks
yeah.
over, and then another right from the festival. Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked out great. So here we go. Thanks again to Trevin, and thank you guys for listening. Especially, it's a long show. We know it, but I think there's a lot of good detail. So here we go. Russ, you are in Atlanta.
Correct.
As we
yeah,
speak.
You can probably see I'm not in the bus. I'm in a hotel in Atlanta.
At Shaky Knees, and mm-hmm. we are joined, as always, by Brian Stone, who is in East Ridge.
Hello. If it looks like I just woke up, it's because I did just wake up.
It's early Sunday morning. I'm Barry, of course, with the Wet Podcast. I'm at the World Headquarters here on Missionary Ridge in Chattanooga, and we are joined by a friend of the show and almost a correspondent at this point. I don't know what we're going to call you, Trevin, but Trevin Bernarding is joining us early on a Sunday. You are
well,
where?
We're certainly
Charlotte?
Not going to pay you, though.
Yeah. The pay doubles,
Barry,
actually.
Barry's friendship is pay enough.
I don't know.
Nice. Yeah, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Why? Tell us why.
Noah Kahn is why I'm here right now. Of course, you know, I love festivals, and my daughter loves, I mean, she's 17, just loves Noah. And I was looking at tickets to see him on individual shows. Tickets were crazy. I'm talking about face value tickets for like $250, $300, just for normal tickets.
Yeah.
And so we started looking at festivals and eyeballed this one, a new one, kind of, you know, took a chance. But he was a headliner, didn't know what day, but we knew he was headlining Friday in Atlanta. So we thought this will work out because we'll be playing Saturday or Sunday in Charlotte.
What's the festival?
Love and Life.
Yeah, and it's a great lineup. We'll get into that.
Yeah, Love and Life in Charlotte. How long has that one been around? Do we just roughly a few years now?
No, just first year.
Oh, it's his first year. Okay.
First year.
Nice. We'll get into that.
Noah just played here Friday in Atlanta at Shaky Knees, and then I guess he left and went to Charlotte.
Well, he made a guest appearance last night with Maggie Rogers.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So he's already in Charlotte yesterday.
Well, for those who don't know, he is a former, another friend of the show. It was on, was it 2 years ago?
I think 2 years ago, yeah.
They all run together. But he's one of my favorite guests. I told Trevin yesterday I have a bit of a man crush. what a great interview. He was so open. And he was still fairly new, right? And then did the Bonnaroo performance, which everyone still talks about being one of the largest tent shows ever. You couldn't get anywhere close to it, right?
It was the worst year ever to not have those screens. Because I took the bait on the Noah Kahn thing. I still don't know any more now than I did at Bonnaroo last year because I haven't listened much since. It was the biggest, and I'm not trying to be too much into the moment at that time, but I don't think I've ever seen an overflow crowd at a stage show in 20 years. It was impossible to even really to get anywhere near it, especially with no screens. So luckily they're fixing that this year.
He's great and a great story. A lot of discussion with us about mental health and just being honest and open and how he connects with fans. So. It's funny that one thing that brought you to this festival, right? And I meant to ask, Trevin, you have two daughters. Now, is this the daughter that I watched try to pick on an entire boys' soccer team when she was in, like, seventh grade, or is this the one who played soccer with my daughter?
It's neither one. I have three daughters.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so she's my youngest. She's 17, so my oldest – play with your daughter maybe 1 or 2 years because she's a little younger than your daughter. And then the seventh grader, the one that time, that's my other one. That's my main one.
Yes, so, yes, she was. I was like, who is that kid? And yeah, I don't remember if you were near me and you're like, that's my daughter. It's like, oh my God.
This is my youngest one. She's a junior in high school.
Well, I have a reason for asking, because that, you know, you're there with your wife and 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I want to get into that a little bit as well. But all right, let's start with you, Russ. Shaky Knees. This is what, your third or fourth?
I think it's my fourth. Yeah, that sounds right.
How's it going?
It's going great. Thought we were going to get some rain yesterday, but the clouds stayed away. It was nice and warm and sunny. Kind of a preview for Rue, because it's getting to be hot and lots of walking around and lots of festival stuff. So Friday we started with Metric was my first band that I saw, and then went into the Psychedelic Porn Crumpets, which was a band that I think David Iambano suggested to us. Yeah,
say that name again.
The Psychedelic Porn Crumpets.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if you saw, Brian. We get a text from our friend David Bruce, I Am Bonnaroo, who's like, that's one of my favorite bands. I'm like, you're making that up. Come on.
Where did you read that this week? Sorry, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. All right. Well, okay. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah. And then, you know, we had that discussion about last week about, are you an on the rail kind of person,
or you were, you know, on you the like rail, weren't you?
I was on the rail for All Them Witches.
I saw the social media posts, and I was like, well, that answers the question for Russ after the show. Good stuff, huh?
Great. Yeah, they were I've seen them. They played Shaky Knees before. They've played Bonnaroo. I always go see them, and yeah, I think that was the one show that I stayed the entire set for and was on the rail. So
now, did you push your way? Did you have to knock any kids over to blue-haired ladies to get there, or you just walk up?
No, I just pretty much walked up. I mean, it was not a very. It was crowded. I mean, there's people there, but not too bad.
Yeah, how were the crowds? I'm going to ask Trevin that as well. How were the crowds?
Crowds are huge. I think this is a sold-out festival, at least for.
Wondered about that.
I think that's what they said, and you could feel it. I mean, there's people everywhere, and you know, it's there's people here, but it doesn't feel too crowded. I don't feel like, you know, it's easy to still get around to the different stages and to the different bathrooms and food and all that. So it feels well managed.
Yeah, I don't want to bore people too much with the logistics of where you're at, but because I've been to Shaky many times, it was on the regular rotation starting about 5-6 years ago and went for about 4 or 5 years, and it's moved. It was in Centennial Park downtown near, you know, where the stadiums are and all that in the heart of Atlanta. And then it spent most of its time where you are today or this weekend, Russ, in Centennial Park, right? Am I getting the name of it? I think it's Centennial. Central.
It's Central Park.
I'm sorry. Central Park. And that's a pretty good layout. It's pretty big. And it even though it always feels full, it's never prohibitive to be able to get around, in my experience. Those kinds of things, has that all been manageable?
That's all been manageable. They did move some stages around. They put the Ponce de Leon stage, I guess it's like the third biggest stage.
Yeah.
They kind of pushed it way back, which I think makes sense, to kind of get it away from the other two main stages. But they also moved Criminal Records, which was kind of in a little grassy tree area with lots of shade.
Almost like a little grove. Yeah,
it was like a little grove. They moved that over next to the Ponce de Leon stage, which doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean,
is it on a slab of concrete now or something, probably?
Yeah, it's just out in the open.
Well, that's probably
I think they said they were doing some renovations or something in that part of the park, so they had to move it.
Yeah.
Part of what I find interesting about this is, Russ is known, Russ with the bus, you bring the VW to Bonnaroo, you get there on Tuesday, you stay till, you know, September.
Until they kick me out.
You love to camp. Trevin, you've become... we joked, you've been on this show several times, and it's because you go to a lot of different festivals, and you have a good perspective. I think you've done it always, right? You've done camping, you've done VIP, you've done GA, you're in a hotel room now in Charlotte. And I'll ask both of you, to kind of compare and contrast the City Fest versus the camping fest and that sort of thing. And I know I'm jumping all over, but Trevin, how are you doing this festival this year?
This festival's only choice is hotel. So we're walking 3/4 of a mile maybe to the site. It's right in First Ward Park, which is, you know, downtown. I call it Uptown Charlotte. So yeah, it's a small park, only 3 stages. It's hotel is the only option. There's no camping here, so it's a different, totally different vibe. As you know, Russ can attest, I'm sure, from camping versus you know, walking from a hotel. So, but that was the only choice at this one.
What does that mean? I mean, like to somebody who's never been to one, how does that alter the vibe, I guess? What's the difference between camping festival and a, you know, we're going back to the hotel where there's AC and I assume a restaurant and those sorts of things?
Yeah, admittedly, most of the time I'm in a hotel. I've been to like 4 or 5 camping festivals, but it's just more of a community feel. As you guys know, Monterey is awesome for that, right? You get to know your neighbors. You hope your neighbors aren't loud, and you're late at night drinking with them at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And here, it's more about the shows, I suppose. I mean, you still get to know people around you and things, but it's just not the same community feeling at a festival like this.
Yeah, you know, when you're at Bonnaroo, I think Barry, you've said it before. When you're there, you're there, and you know, you're kind of in a bubble because once you enter Bonnaroo, for most people that camp, you don't leave for the entire duration. You're in there, so it's almost like you're kind of separated from reality a little bit. You know, the outside world is there, but you're not participating in that. Here, you know, when you get to the end of the night, you know, okay, I've got to go back to the hotel and go back to real life. You know, for me, it's about a 20-minute walk, which isn't bad, but you know, it does kind of take you out of the moment, or at least, you know, you have to go back to real life, I guess. But you know, there's some good things too. You know, we had brunch yesterday morning. There's a, you know, a group of us. There's, you know, we're in downtown Atlanta. There's plenty to do. There's you know, if you want to take a break from the festival and go out and, you know, eat and, you know, find a bar or something, you can do it, which is also kind of neat. But I think I much prefer camping myself.
Yes, I think this is kind of just fascinating for me over the last 20 years. I've gone back and forth on the City Fest, hotel primarily, or whatever other accommodations, and the camping fest. And once upon a time, I loved, because it's all I knew, the City Fest. And then Bonnaroo came around and changed everything I thought about. And then I got older and things changed and I prioritized different things. I think they both have their place and both serve them really well. There's, in the last couple of times I went to Shaky Knees, my goal was, or my plan, it went away from going to 3 days and it turned into pick 1 day, maybe 2, but usually it would be 1 the last couple of times, and just get there when the gates open. No lines, no problems, no, just cruise right on in and spend the entire day there. It's exhausting, but if it's a good lineup, which Shaky Knees always is, and this, I closed out the page. I had the Living Loud, is that right?
Love and Life.
Very nice lineup this year. That's got its own special place that can be fun. Not certainly in a what we're used to and what we're normally talking about, Bonnaroo, but I think they both can work. Well, not. I know they do, because I have been.
Yeah, I think a City Fest is more about the lineup, definitely. I mean, I'm sure most, I don't know what the percentage is, but how many people go to Bonnaroo? I'm going to Bonnaroo. I don't care.
We talk about that all the time.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. Absolutely. I mean, Love and Life, or Shaky Knees always is a great lineup too. I think City Fest are mostly about the lineup and how well they do. And then, you know, 100%. Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, Coachella, whatever. That's about the experience.
You know, we joke. You sit down and you spend a lot of time making your list. Here's what I'm gonna go here, and then you never do because it's so big.
Yeah.
Does that the same at a City Fest? Are you, Trevin? I mean, again, you've done these. You said Noah Kahan is huge because that's your daughter's. And then is it like, oh, and there's other people we'll go see, or how firm are you in your scheduling, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
I mean, this is a little different, I think, than Shaky Knees, where you don't have much choice. There's only 3 stages. There's 2 main stages, and a local stage, and they bounce. There's hardly any overlap. So
kind of like Moon River here in Chattanooga. One ends and the other starts, and you just, yeah.
Yeah, maybe slightly larger than Moon River, but yeah, same concept. So it is about the lineup. It's like, I mean, yesterday was my favorite day. I got here by, I went there by myself at 1 o'clock, but my family joined me around 4.
That's what I'm talking about. There you
all
go.
Right. All right.
And I get there. I mean, I am like, there's maybe, I know it's like 10 people there, but that's what it felt like. And for me, it was awesome. I mean, I was able to go, I explored the entire grounds. I saw all these different bands I wanted to see. But yeah, it's not the same as trying to pick out. You don't have to sacrifice a festival like this. However, right. You're stuck.
It's not as stress-inducing. It's not as stress-inducing right. To figure out, you know, how can I make this perfect? Because it's almost set up, especially those back and forth kind of stage exactly. Settings, which Shaky, they do that, but they're not next to each other, right? Still, they're still Russ. The stages are still a little bit of a walk. I mean, I'm talking, I don't know, 16th of a mile. I mean, it is not far.
Yeah, okay. It's not far. They do spread them out, and I think that really helps because you don't really get a lot of sound bleed from one to the other. So when once you go from one stage to the next, you can fully hear this stage. So yeah, they do a pretty good job with, you know, bouncing you back and forth between the different stages, and there's really not a lot of conflicts either here.
It sounds like Forecastle.
Yeah, Love and Life is back and forth, like one end to the fast of the other. You know, so there's a little bit of bleed, though, honestly. There's a little bit of bleed.
You could get as close as you wanted, or if you wanted some space, you could back up.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's huge. That's nice. I haven't even asked, other than Noah, who have you seen and who are you guys going to see? It's a great lineup.
So we got here a little bit later on Friday because our plane was a little bit late. We only saw Dominic Fike and Post Malone. Have y'all seen Post Malone before? I mean, that guy is just really, really good.
I don't know if I'm going to see him in a month and a half yet, but we'll see.
But yeah, that was just, I've seen him twice. It's my second time, but really, really good. So yesterday was my first day, a full day. So we started off with Axe and Hatchet Man. They were a pretty new band. I just picked up on about a month ago, 2 months ago, maybe. They were like 10 people were there. And it's like, this is maybe next year they're playing some, you know, bigger stage and I won't be able to do that. And yeah, Happy Landing, another great band from North Carolina, up and comer. The Struts, I don't understand. Someone explain to me why the Struts play midday at a small festival. Those guys friggin' rock. You know, I mean, they're a true rock.
They do rock.
I mean, they're from the UK. They're the Stones. I mean, I'm not from that category, obviously, but they're just, what a great band. And then the Fray.
They're just a raw rock and roll band. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Why are they not getting, I don't know, more attention? I don't understand. And the Fray is making a comeback. Were they 2000s alt band, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
They're back. And my 17-year-old daughter, be able to bond with her over music I love, you know, when I was younger. And had Young the Giant. Oh my God, I've seen them like 19 times, and I've loved them every time.
To modify what we the never not great. They're never not fun. Young right. The Giant is always a blast. There's so much energy.
Yeah, they're Shaky Knees. So a friend of mine, David Champion, is also Shaky Knees. Yeah. And then Maggie Rogers after that. It's like, it's just what an awesome day. And I mentioned Noah Kahan came out. I was like, wow, he's already here? But she has a song where he just says a line. He says some funny lines in her song. That's what he did. That's all he did. He came out, said his funny lines. Went backstage. Nice. It was like, this is. And then Stevie Nicks, headliner. So, what a great day.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I said on here, my daughter just had a baby 2 months ago, and the baby is named Stevie Jane after Stevie Nicks. So, that touches me that you got to see her. And along those lines, and Russ, I want to get back to you about lineup, but Trevin, how cool is it to be there with your 17-year-old daughter and your wife? I mean, to be able to have the conversations about music and shared music and all that is it's pretty cool. Excuse me, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. I started when my son was 15. He and I went to Firefly together. I'd never been to a festival, so started off with him. camping at Firefly, and it's just something, you know, I've always introduced to my kids, but, you know, they didn't have to force it on me. Right? They love music, and I went to Bonnaroo with Bridget in 2017, my oldest. As a family, I have four kids, one's married. We're going to the Montreal Festival in August, all of us, the entire family. So it's, oh, for wow. us, it's, this is how we get together. I mean, nice. As kids get older, yeah. you know, I mean, that Landslide song just brought tears to my eyes, you know, last night, just thinking about my own kids and things of that nature. So yeah, it's very special. Nice. And this is my wife's birthday is May 1st. So this is a splurge for her too. We did VIP, which we don't always do together. But we splurged on that for her birthday too. So very special.
Yeah. It's
Dad of the Year over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting because, I mean, I've a large part of why I'm even doing this podcast is because of my kids and Bonnaroo, but my kids introduced me to new music, you know? I mean, if you knew what I listened to, it's 70s, 80s kind of rock, but I, you know, I tried to keep up because my kids were, you know, listening to new music. So it's just, I think it's just cool. So, all right, Russ.
One quick point on that, if I could. Just, you know, when I was in the 80s, when I was in REM, B-52s, and all that kind of stuff, my parents hated it. And I'm like, I'm not going to be that parent, man. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like poppy, you know, all that stuff. But I'll listen to Doja Cat. I mean, it's good stuff, you know. I'm not going to be that guy. And I love alt music. I love alt music. So anyway.
Well, I think you and I are similar in that I felt a responsibility to introduce my kids to stuff, though I never felt like I wanted to tell them what they should like.
Right. Yes.
You know. They know the Beatles. They know the Stones. We used to sit out all the time. Song would come on the radio, and I'm like, who's that? My kids can kill at trivia. They are those kids that, you know, they would walk into the office, and the old people are like, you know that song? You know the Barquets? And I'm like, yeah, you know. So I felt that obligation. But, you know, Carson was into Huffamoose and whatever. I'm like, you know, into Umbop. I'm like, okay. If you like it, good. You know, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Russ. So what have you seen? You talked a little bit already. What did you see yesterday, and what are you going to see today?
That kind of went over Friday. Yesterday was a pretty big day because I met up with shout out to Evan Bonnaroo. Met up with him, one of Brad's friends from New York. He's here with Skyler and
whose last name is not Bonnaroo.
Yeah, Evan.
Tell you,
Evan Bonnaroo.
Evan Brown.
Evan Bonnaroo is a big Pearl Jam guy, and so we Snapchat a lot. I don't ever met Evan, but I feel like he's one of my best friends in the last like 8 months. So looking forward to seeing Bonnaroo.
You'd get along with him.
He's in several people's phone listing as Evan Bonnaroo.
Evan
Bonnaroo.
He's in my phone.
Also saw Meredith M. Geezy, who is a friend of the show. She, you know, met her at Bonnaroo last year. She lives in Atlanta, so this was an easy fest for her to get to. And we all just had a brunch yesterday morning and then went into the festival. Yesterday I saw Chicano Batman, which was first for me.
Chicano Batman.
Yeah. It was pretty
They've
good.
Been around for a little bit now. I remember when they were first on the Bonnaroo lineup. I was like, Chicago Batman? What?
Yeah.
Chicano Batman. That didn't get any better, dude. I still don't know what it is. But yeah, they're pretty, it's a pretty nice act.
Yeah, and then at Evan's recommendation, I went to see Royal Blood. I've never heard of this band, but it's a two-piece.
Great band.
It's a
great band.
It's a guitar and a drummer, and that's pretty much it. They brought out a keyboard at one point, but for the most part, it's just two dudes, and they put on a hell of a show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of sound for just two people. But yeah, great band.
Russ, did you notice the guitar was a bass guitar?
I didn't.
So they only have drums and bass?
Drums and bass. Wow. Okay.
Nice.
I mean, I've heard of that before, but I
is
can't
like
give you
four,
many examples.
Four-string bass, or is it like a stick?
It's a four-string bass.
Yeah. Like bass. Nice. All right, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, check them out.
Cool.
Then, of course, you know, went to the Offspring, went to Queens of the Stone Age, and Weezer closed the night out. And then Daniel from Rubus is here. He brought his niece, Lacey. I think she's about 8. But you know, he's been taking her to festivals since she was
there's that responsibility. There it is.
Yeah. So, but we ended up going to Pond late night here at Terminal West. They played at about midnight over on the other side of town, and we got tickets and went on in. They put on a good show, too. I saw them, you know, I saw their set Friday, but that was neat going to, I guess, a show after a festival.
So, Russ, is that the show you said there, Terminal West? Is that part of the Shaky Knees kind of satellite ecosystem outside of the festival? Because I see them promoting these separate shows, and they're usually ticketed events.
They're ticketed events. You got to buy another ticket. But
it's like sanctioned through the Shaky Knees kind of orbit.
Yeah, it's kind of blessed through Shaky Knees. And a few other bands did some late night sets at different venues around town. But yeah, the Pond show was great.
What about tonight? What's left?
Probably, well, the Struts are on here, so I'll go see them. And Kingfish is one I want to see. I think he was on one of the canceled Bonnaroo lineups. Never got to see him. Dinosaur Jr. is my big one for
Dinosaur
today.
Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah.
It's all in Milwaukee.
I could be there in 2 hours, you know, in an hour and 45
Let's
minutes.
Let's go, yeah. Yeah, you can make it. Yeah, probably my highlight of my day will be Dinosaur Jr., Billy Idol, of course, and Portugal the Man, and then Foo Fighters closes it out.
What awesome. Great day. Good Lord.
I purposely didn't really even want to remember what the lineup was last week with the phone. I didn't want the FOMO to set in.
Right.
You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
Billy Idol is the full band with, what's his guitar? Is it Steve Stevens? Was that his name?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
I think it is. Yeah, they were at, remember we saw him, Brian, you were there at Bonnaroo. I think it was right, like Alice Cooper. Was that the Alice Cooper year, or am I mixing them up?
I don't know. That was a long drunk time ago.
Yeah, that was a good drunk for you. I think that's when we actually first hung out.
We've talked about it. Yes, yeah. I don't remember this.
It was
well,
a lot of
but,
fun, but Billy's cool, man. I mean, yeah. All right, Trevin, what do you got today?
It's a pretty slow day today. I'm exploring some new things. Parmalee, I've never seen. Honestly, another country band. I knew I heard of them, but listen to some of the music on Spotify. Beach Boys. Or the throwback.
The Mike Love Band.
Today. The Mike Love Beach Boys. I'm sorry. It'll be fun.
My wife's hoping Stamos shows up. I'm like, I wouldn't count on that. You know,
that's when he would show up with Mike.
Yeah, she's honestly hoping he's going to show up. But so my daughter has talked me into being on the rail for Noah. So I'm not going to see much today. I think we're just going to.
Ooh.
I told her, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Well, this is her. Yeah, this is her thing. So,
Beach Boys plays two bands before Noah.
Beach Boys and ride it out. Is that what you're saying?
We're just going to be there, you know. And woo! Hopefully, one thing people are pretty cool about letting you in and out if you know you're there. You're not like you're not getting past me. Yeah, at a certain point, you're all packed in. You can't move anyway.
And when there's a little overlap, there's an easier way in and out. So it isn't exactly like stay on it, never move. But you still really got to take care of that real estate. I mean, it's
you
not going to hold itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been on the rail for lots of shows that I really want to see, and it's I'm older now though. So it's like, oh my god, can I? They ain't put on a pair of depends. Am I gonna be able to do this? But I'm gonna try. I told her, I'll try. And she says, well, dad, I'm here no matter what. As long as you be by yourself, it's fine. But I want to be there with her.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
All right. So, logistically, how are these festivals going? You guys are both, you've been to many, how does it compare? I know there's been a little bit of news. Festival kind of mentioned some stuff about the VIP area there at the festival in Charlotte. And we talked about it last year with Bonnaroo with this ginormous VIP area with not very many people in it. How's that been, Trevin? I know we talked a little yesterday.
Yeah. It's almost like two different festivals. You know, I spent a little time yesterday in general NGA just to see how it was. It's like... I'm not judging, I guess. You gotta make money if you're a festival, right? It's their first year, but the one stage, it's a huge VIP area right in front. And then you got the super VIP. They have their own little corner too. The other stage is more younger and just more of a, I guess, more a classic festival vibe to it. They have a very small VIP to the side. People like, you know, Chainsmokers played there, bands like that, more DJ sets. Well, I think only one DJ set this festival, but it's definitely a tale of two festivals. You know, it's, you've created a class. In this type of festivals.
Trevin, without having to get into too many details, how much does it feel like a first-year fest? Because I think we all kind of have an understanding of what when any kind of first-year events question. Got growing pains everywhere. Yeah. How's it feel as a first year?
I mean, there's stuff that's weird. Like, they have their water stations. There's plenty of water stations. They're all together. What are you doing? Why not spread them out? But, again, first year, they're all together. I assume it's logistics. That's where the fresh water pipe came through. I don't know.
Yeah.
But one area for fresh for, and that's the festival thing. There was a big social media campaign almost. They announced no water stations.
Oh, about. Was that them? Was that that festival? And then they later came back and said, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. We got them. We got you.
Yeah.
That's, well, yeah. I remember that story.
Right. So, yeah, they came back. Even they doubled down on it originally. So, if you're feeling woozy, go to the medical tent.
They said, get dehydrated, and then we'll give you some water.
It was bizarre, but they relented. And then there's not enough food stations, so to speak. VIP only has two, and the lines move, but there's a great park with a fountain where all the bathrooms are for the VIP, all porta-potties, but still they can put food there. So, yeah, there's small things like that, Barry, that – first year festival, but as far as getting in and out, and they've done fine.
That's a great question, Brian. I'm glad you asked. It made me think, Russ, you remember talking to Drew Holcomb about Moon River their first year, and he was like, I think we bought, 10 cases of water that first day and and no quarters. Didn't have any quarters and had to go to a laundromat or something. Yeah, you just don't think about those things until you do it. So, How about Shaky Knees, Russ? I mean, you 4 years now. They moved it.
They moved it prior to me attending. It's always been at this.
They've bounced back and forth. They've gone back from Centennial to Central, so they already have a really good understanding of what they're doing there. My guess would be it's running pretty well. Is that a good guess?
It's running very smooth. Yeah. I think
Shaky's a solid festival. It really is.
Yeah, this is their 11th year, I think. Last year they'd had their 10th anniversary, and I mean, it's, you know, pretty well run. They've figured out where to put all the water stations and where to put the food, and you know, they've got the stages pretty well lined up. So, you know, yeah, it's logistically it's very smooth.
Nice. Just a quick thing that only people from the Southeast would understand at all, and more specifically the Atlanta. But the old Music Midtown, not the one they do now, which is a nice festival too, but that was in the mid to late 90s and the early 2000s. That was a really popular, massively attended Peter and Alex, those guys down here, the big names, Cooley, one of them is, they were the big promoters of that. And there was fond memories of Gen Xers and rocker types. And they had every genre of music that you could ever imagine. It wasn't just a rock festival.
Yeah.
Shaky Knees kind of took that model, and even Central Park is closer to where the actual Midtown was. And that it gives nostalgic feels as well as a really great lineup every year. And it sounds like it's the same this year, too.
Same this year, yeah.
Let me ask this, because yesterday morning when I reached out to you guys both, it was raining, and the forecast was raining.
That was raining like hell all over here, so I figured it was down there, too.
Yeah, so...
We didn't get any rain here, yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask, what were your plans? Talk about 24 hours ago versus now. Because that's a big part of festivals, man. You can't predict the weather, and you got to deal with it.
Yeah, one thing I did was I rented a locker. I think that's, a veteran move kind of thing. Always rent a locker, even if you're camping. So that way you're not going back to your site and everything else. So we brought change of clothes, didn't know. But it ended up just drizzling all day. It was actually better than 85 and sunny, honestly. We were not uncomfortable at all. It was a slight drizzle almost all day, but it was fine. When landslide started last night, and she's doing Stevie Nicks' emotional tribute to this slain policeman here in Charlotte, and the buckets just we got friggin' drenched. I mean, it poured like you would not believe.
But it was nowhere to go.
But we're all having fun. It was like I gave my wife my hat, and it was so. But fortunately, it was the last song. We just friggin' the buckets. Nice. But luckily, it was a great day.
Good memory.
So
yeah, sounds good actually. Mm-hmm.
I think I felt a raindrop at brunch, and we thought, oh, is it starting? But the forecast really, it really didn't rain at all. I brought a jacket. I didn't get a locker, but I could walk back to the hotel if I needed to. But other than that, my plan was just to get wet if it rained.
But you did get a locker a couple of years ago there, didn't you? I think mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, I've gotten a locker before, and it is a good tip. Yeah, it's a good pro tip. Nice. For sure.
Just a risk definitely mitigation technique. Get a locker. Mm-hmm. And then I have free swag. You have some place to put that too. So
I do want to also shout out, I ran into Josh and Sal. These are two dudes that come here from Texas. They also go to Bonnaroo, and they listen to the show, and I ran into them. Actually, never. They recognized me last year at Shaky Knees, and happened to run into them again here. And so they're, nice. Cool. They also said they bring a bunch of barbecue and cook it up out in camp for Bonnaroo. And they've invited us all to come out and have some barbecue, which sounds great. Who knows how far they are from us, but it's neat to run into them again, especially just, happen to 2 years in a row.
That's cool. Russ the rock star.
Happy birthday to my wife, Alicia. Give her a shout out. It's also why we're here. It's my daughter, Brooklyn, for introducing me to Noah.
So. Nice. Well, if you get to see Noah tonight, tell him Goober says hey.
I will.
That's what I always. All right. Well, have fun, Travin. Thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday morning. And tell the family hello. And y'all have fun. And was it Montreal you're going to?
Montreal in August. We are.
That's crazy. Good for you.
So I'll talk to y'all soon. Great seeing you again.
Thanks, Trav.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Well, good show. Like I said, a bunch. We did a lot. And we're going to continue to do a lot. It's kind of funny, guys. I never thought we'd have this much to talk about every week. But
I know.
There it is.
Yeah. It's fun to do for sure. It was daunting beyond belief when you guys first brought the idea up years and years ago. Like, when it jumped off the ground, and then after it was continuing to roll and like, all right, then you really have to sit down and think about, okay, like you said, 50 weeks a year. That's no big deal. Or is it?
Or is it?
Yeah. Exactly. I'll let you know. I'll let you know more, but no, it's fun, and especially now, though. I mean, I heard that this part is the part I knew leading up. Like the build is where it really starts to pick up, and it'll only get better over the next. Boy, imagine we're knocking on the door in June in 5 minutes from now, and we're all getting packed and ready to go, and that's all that excitement builds within us, within the audience, within all of YouTube, within all of social media and Reddit, and you can just feel it from every level that you're letting yourself putting yourself in their threads and everything else. It's you can just feel it, every within all the platforms that you use, and it makes it that much more exciting.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, especially if you stuck with us this long. I think it's another good show. Proud of what we've done in addition to doing it every week. I think every one of them has been pretty solid, and that's because of you guys. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, so. Very, very much.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with Lord Taco's Picks.
Consequence Podcast Network.